Is it a good morning?
Amen.
I just don't want to say any more. Good morning. Maybe for some it's not, but I hope by the time we get done, it'll be much better. We're in Hebrews chapter 10, moving right along. We're going to be going into 11 in the next week, I would hope, or so. But I've really been feeling that we need to stay in this one spot, not because I feel like this is a stump that I really enjoy speaking about or whatever, but I really think that the Lord wants us all in our own ways, our own study habits or whatever, to seriously look into the events that are coming into not only our lives, but the world that's around us. We left off last week in Hebrews 10. We looked at verse 25. We also jumped over to 35 through 38. We'll be looking at that again. And some of the thoughts, just for us to catch up as we're getting there. Our view, I said this, that our view of the future, which is eschatology, big word, but it's just my personal view of the prophetic events that the Bible speaks about, my view of those future events should affect my present belief, walk, everything. If I truly believe that that is happening, and that's something that I'm going to, you know, I have to ask myself, I'd ask each one of us, you look at your belief pattern, because ultimately it's the last thing. The last question before we enter into the presence of eternity, what did you do with Jesus Christ? This has to do with faith, and we're getting into faith, but if I believe one way or the other, as we're going to get to rapture, second, if I believe this, how is it affecting my present walk with Christ? I think that's crucial for each one of us. We also, in verse 25, and we'll read that, we looked at the day, remember? We've had a few weeks of this, and I hope and pray that some of us have looked into what day, what is that day, what is it saying, how, what are my thoughts and beliefs in this, because I feel that those are going to affect each and every one of us. So the Word of God in Hebrews 10, 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much more. And I mean, that's so important. I mean, I can't say enough about that. I mean, it's easy to downgrade. It's easy to point a finger. It's easy to talk behind somebody's back. But God is saying, I want you to exhort, you know, one another and even more. So maybe I didn't do it for the last 3-4 years or last week. Today I have an opportunity. I'm breathing, I'm walking. I have the opportunity to take my mindset and say, I'm going to look for those opportunities when I have a chance to really try to encourage someone else in this faith, in this walk called life that we're in. So he tells us to encourage each other even so much more as we see the day approaching. The day approaching, we talked about that. If you're visiting today, or I hope you're taking notes, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures today. The only way that we'll get this confirmed in our hearts and minds is by studying this word. It's not what Doug says, please. It's, you know, some of you might argue with that, but it's not what I say. It's what God says. And if I make a mistake, that's on me, and I encourage you, if you say, no, I don't know, I think, please come and tell me. But the day, the options that we're faced with is our natural passing. We've said that every one of us are going to pass out of this life one way or the other. It's the rapture, which this church is founded on, a pre-tribulation rapture. And that rapture, as you study, you're going to find there's a pre-trib, there's a mid-trib, there's a post-trib, there's a pan theory, there's a pre-wrath. There's so much confusion. And I feel that God, his word, there's simplicity besides depth. Just because something is simple doesn't mean it doesn't have depth. And it is a mystery, but that doesn't mean we can't solve that or at least be concerned enough to look into how I'm going to receive this and live. So we're being told of that day, and the other option for most Christian churches is the second coming. A lot of people do not believe whatsoever in a rapture and are still Christians. That's fine. And this shouldn't divide us in any way depending on how we believe about this day that is coming. I guess I'll put a plug in for pre-trib rapture, though. It's nice to have a captive audience unless you walk out. Turn to Romans 5 at times. Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 9. Why do I believe that we're coming out of this world when he blows the trumpet and takes us up to heaven, which to some people, we'll get to this, it's like bizarre. You really believe that? Well, in Romans 5, verse 9, and I said this quickly last week, but it's very important because words are important. The Holy Spirit, he doesn't confuse us with doublespeak. He doesn't confuse us with words that we can't understand. He utilized words when this was given to mankind to say what he means and mean what he says. Verse 9 says, much more than, and you know, I'm just picking out some, but read when you look this week. Go back a little bit. Go forward a little bit. But in verse 9, it says, much more than being now justified by his blood. And I'd ask, are you justified by his blood? Heaven is the focus that we're going on. Are we going there? Are you justified by his blood? Because we're not getting in there by good works. We're not getting in there because I did certain, I'm justified. Heaven is my residence. I'm going to heaven. Is anybody else going to heaven? Heaven is your residence if you're justified, if we've accepted that sacrifice for Jesus Christ. It's that simple. Let's not make it real in-depth, but we're justified by his blood. We will be saved, that word from, underline it, please, from wrath through him. The word in the Greek is ek, out of, from. There's a Greek word that's used in other times, dia, I said that, D-I-A, that means through. So if he meant I'll protect you through it, he would have said I'll protect you through it. Don't worry about the tribulation that's coming on the world. I'm going to put you in a bubble somewhere. He didn't say that whatsoever. 1 Thessalonians, as we're turning back to Hebrews. Hey. 1 Thessalonians 5. And verse 9. It says, for God has not appointed us to wrath. The tribulation is going to be the wrath of God coming on mankind. You know, what we're looking at now, high gas prices, shortage of food, that's nothing. Nothing. There won't be food, possibly. There won't be gas. There won't be. There won't be. There won't be. I mean, just keep adding whatever rows your boat. It's not going to be there. That's why God is saying God has not appointed us, those of us that are justified by his blood, those of us that are knowingly in a relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's not because I was raised in a religious family. It's not because my mom and dad have this thing called faith. And they believe in Christ. Well, I guess I do too. It's not going to church. It's being justified by the blood of Christ, who is the propitiation for our sins. He's the payment that is necessary. But it says here also that God has not appointed us to wrath. Okay, so then he's got to do something else during that time. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That is so critical as you study this week. What really is going on? Revelation. Let's throw that one in too because that's always good. Revelation 3. Because in verse 10. It says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee. What's in every translation? From. Ek. I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So we have this option that I feel God is asking all of us for our future belief. What's going to happen? We all probably come to the understanding that one day I'm going to pass. Now, maybe when I'm 80 or 90, and we're really not preparing so much for that day. And I feel that as Christians, worldwide Christians all over, I wonder how many of us are really preparing for what I say I believe in my heart for that day that I'm supposed to see approaching. Are we preparing for the rapture? Or is it just the second coming? Now, the second coming, since we're in Revelation, I might jump ahead of myself. Look at Revelation 19. All right, stand up and give them a look, guys. I love the fact that they're called Revelation 19. I love it. It's the Alleluia chorus in the Bible. But in Revelation 19, the second coming. So there's so many other scriptures, I can't fit them in here. But let's say you don't believe. You believe you're going to die, okay. But I don't believe in a rapture, any of that. But I do believe in a second coming, that Jesus Christ one day will come back. We're going to go to heaven. Everything will be set in order, a millennia. There's Christians all over that believe that. And it is, because it is going to happen. It's a plain, I'm not trying to eliminate the second coming. Verse 11 of Revelation 19 says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and him that sat up, and him that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he did judge and make war. And his eyes," in verse 12, "were a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies," now listen to this, as you study, is it rapture or second coming? "And the armies which were in heaven," they're already there, "followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, and white and clean." You can jump back up and we'll do this. Who is that? Well, in verse 8, it says, "And to her," to the wife, in verse 7, that's the church. We're the bride of Christ. "Made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." That's what's being said here. "And the same army," back to 14, "and the armies which were in heaven followed him." So somebody's already up there in heaven, and it's just not the saints that have passed. It's this bride of Christ. We're going to be up there, and we're coming back. So the two thoughts in our mind is you've got to kind of go up first to come back. You can't come back if you're not there. So, yeah, that's enough to that. "Out of his mouth," I feel like, let me just do two. "And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he that treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of an almighty God, and he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." This is who we're dealing with right now. This is who, as I say, I'm a Christian. This is my Heavenly Father. This is Abba, Daddy. And now what we're going to kind of go into this is, if he is, do I have faith to believe this? Now, faith and belief, as I just kind of ramble, they're kind of married. And most people say, well, they're twins. No, they're not twins. I think they're more like cousins, maybe. Because as we're going to see, you can have faith and not believe. You can believe and not have faith. And faith and hope and belief, as people just say, they're all the same thing. No, they're not. I can hope I win the lottery, but I can't hope with no belief that I'm going to go to heaven. So what we're going to look at here before we go to Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame chapter of all the saints that have gone before us, we're going to be talking about faith, but it's critical, I feel, that we know if I have this faith, am I in Christ? How come my faith is weak? Can I increase my faith? How do I increase my faith? It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. Let me say, God gives it once we believe on him. Bam, you've been given a measure of faith. But now it can stay there like anything else. It won't rot or anything, but it won't grow. And there's ways that we need to see, what kind of faith do I have? How do I increase it? And do I really believe what I say I have faith in, to an extent where I might give of myself in whatever way that's going to present itself? This rapture that we're talking about, it's amazing that a lot of people think, oh, I can't, the rapture, I can't believe that. One minute we're going to be standing here and I'm going to be talking, you know, to Ted, and boom, both of us are, next minute, right there in the face of God. Amen. People don't believe that. It's like, no, I can't believe that. Well, wait a minute then. You believe in that second coming. You believe in heaven. Why do you believe then that we can die, get buried, get cremated, sink in an ocean, and be there for 50 years, but God can take that and bring me up to heaven? What's harder? Why is that so inconceivable that God can do that someday, pie in the sky, I'm going to go, but he can't come back for his church right now, any minute that God decides to do that? Why is that so hard? And I think it's not, God said, well, it's not hard. It's because of my belief. It's because of my faith. Do I really? And that's what I want myself questioning in the time that I have left. And I'd like to encourage you to question that faith if you could. So I want to look at faith. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. I feel in verse 35, as we said, Paul is preparing his hearers to understand what faith, and it's not, you know, we're going to see there's many, many aspects of faith, but Paul is trying to introduce to them this faith and how important it is. And he's trying to tell them, those who are ready to walk away from their newfound Christianity, those who were in some in another, they were Jews and they got converted, but so, like some of us, it might be easy to just to go back to a church that rings the bell or tells you to do this, or, you know, persecution from friends who don't want to hang out with you anymore. Everything is going wrong in my life. Where's God? Anybody ever say that? We're not talking about it. We're talking about faith, grounded faith. And here's Paul before he goes into the Hall of Fame trying to tell them, but I feel the Spirit of God is trying to tell me, Doug, and you can put your name in there like I always say, because unless we make this personal, it's really just going to go in one ear and out the other. Do they still say that? Yes. Remember, I mean, my dad used to say that all the time. You know, in one ear and out the other. The only purpose your head serves is to keep your two ears apart. Like, but he said it lovingly, you know. We need to hear. We really need to hear, because that's one of our senses, that faith really has, you know, we have sight, and we have hearing, and we have smell, and we have taste, and we have touch. Those are all natural. And in the spiritual realm, they come into the same play as our natural senses come in. So 35 says, cast not. Doug, don't throw away your confidence. Do I have confidence? There's a question in what we're studying right now, what we're hearing from God, that he's coming back any minute, an imminent return. No matter what way it is, do I have that faith? Don't cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience. Boy, do I ever. Do I ever. And I think the rest of us really need it in these last days. We're shot. Some of us are threadbare. We're ready to, I mean, just somebody saying hello the wrong way, sorry, Ma, can set your whole morning off. What do you mean, hello? Good morning? No, not good. Don't cast it away, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God. What's the will of God? Believe on God. Believe on who he has sent. Have that faith. That's the way, you know, the will of God. Oh, he wants me to do this and this. Yeah, that's side stuff. Faith. That's what God wants. He said, will I find faith when I return? True saving faith. this faith that we come every Sunday and sometimes Wednesday and sometimes Sunday mornings and choir and whatnot, this needs to go beyond natural faith. It has to, or else there's going to be a lack of reward. I don't want to get into rewards, but that's what he just told us. Don't throw it away. Don't throw it away for a morsel out there. A little bean soup, as our Jacob and Esau story tells us. My needs right now. I don't have time for church. I don't have time for this. Oh, man, you know, I'm still young. I got time maybe to make a decision. Don't. Don't. For yet, in 37, a little while, and he that shall come will come. Not Doug saying it. He's coming. What way is he coming? That depends on your faith. That depends on how you and I will study. But he goes on in 38 to say, now the just will live by faith. Wait a minute, I live by my job, and I live by the savings account that I have, and my IRA, and my wife. Yes, we do. But what he's saying is that the just will live now and eternally by the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, by the faith of God, that even though we're faithless at times and our faith wanes at times, my faith has to be steeped in him, that he is faithful, that he is just. Do I have that? What kind of faith do I have? So faith, pistis is the Greek word that is used for that. And it says in Webster, a belief in something in spite of no clear evidence. Now, we're going to see that in Hebrews 11:1, but I don't want to go there. That's Webster's. A belief in something in spite of no clear evidence. And I feel like I can accept that, but I can debate it too. I won't believe it unless I see it. I won't believe it unless I taste it. Wait a minute. I see it. I see it first in a lot of you. Why are you coming Sunday after Sunday to listen to me? I mean that. There could be somebody else doing a much better job. Why are you doing that? I see faith in God. In God. Hearing. You know, you hear the word of God. How? I don't need evidence beyond what I see so far, what I hear. Taste. God said, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you gotten into his word yet? Smell. I don't know if anybody here in their prayers or at times God's presence will hit our spiritual faith in a way that you will smell the fragrance and an aroma of God. And if we haven't experienced that, don't feel like you've done something less, but it's available when God knows our heart is truly seeking after him. So let's look at faith. Like I said, we know the understanding of it. Faith has two sides, I feel, to the same coin. There is natural faith, which means what everybody, in one sense or another, has. Everybody has faith. Blind faith. So if you're noting down, what kind of faiths are there? Well, there's blind faith. What's blind faith? It was a good rock group back in the 60s and 70s, wasn't it? That dates you a little bit. Blind faith. What's blind faith? I get paid. I take my check. I go down to Citibank. That's where I go. I drive up. The window opens. The draw comes out. I take the rock. I put my check on there. Blah, blah, blah. Get a piece of paper. Okay, have a great day. See you. And my blind faith tells me that that check and my money just went into this building. And any time I want, I can pull up and just get my money out of there. That bank is closing pretty soon anyhow, if nobody heard it yet. It's not them. But that's blind. I believe that my money is in there somewhere without even thinking about it, and I drive away. What's to say that the teller or somebody isn't going to cash all that, get all the money, stick in their pocket, hop in the car, and off they go? That's, you know, that's blind faith. I don't want to keep picking on Danny. Every now, you know, I just Danny because it breaks. How many people do you know that check their brakes every time before they go down the canyon? Open the hood, look at the brake fluid. go out there, pump them, make sure. We jump in our car, turn the key, go flying down the canyon, knowing in blind faith, saying, I got brakes. We don't even think about it. That's blind faith. So at the end of my tirade, the question is, as we look at these faiths, what kind do I have today? So we have the blind faith, vain faith. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15, if you would. First Corinthians 15, we'll be looking at 12, I think it is. Yeah, this is Paul speaking about the resurrection. So, excuse me, vain faith. You know, there's a lot of people that think they have faith, but it's this type of faith because God's word is sometimes argued about. God's word says that there are people who have a form of godliness. That's this faith. This is a belief of theirs. But deny the power thereof. The power is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to be so necessary on that day of the rapture, the second coming, whatever it is, to take these bodies that we have and raise them up to heaven. But vain faith. So verse 12. Arguments at this time about the resurrection. One side believed there was, one didn't believe there was. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which is with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached, and so they believed. Now, if Christ, in verse 12, be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. That's a mouthful there, but this is faith. This is faith. I mean, I have to almost start there. I believe that that stone was rolled away, and after he hung on that cross and was beaten, and the power of the Holy Spirit and God came in there and raised him up. Because some people argue that today, believe it or not. Well, you know, maybe not. Maybe not. And if Christ, verse 14, be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Empty. So there's a vain faith, depending on what we believe that Jesus Christ says to us in his word. Yea, and we are all found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God, and that he raised up Christ, whom he raised, if he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. If that doesn't happen, then Christ isn't even around, is what he's saying. And if Christ be not raised, now listen to this, your faith is in vain, and you're still in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep, the ones that are dead in Christ, are perished. There's no hope. There is no second coming. There is nothing. Do we understand? It's not that there's a rapture. There's nothing if we don't believe that there's so much more to this life than what we see. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. There's vain faith. This dead faith, turn to James chapter 2. Dead faith. 14 of chapter 2. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and he has not works? Can faith save him? So a lot of people say they have faith. But see, what God is trying to get across to us, if we sit here today and say we got faith, it could be seen. Your faith can be seen. Remember the centurion? My child is sick. Please come to my house. Oh, you know, far away. You don't even have to come to my house. Just say the word. My son will be healed. Jesus, I haven't seen such faith in all the truth. I haven't seen it. So our faith can be seen. The point again being dead faith. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Goes together. I say I have faith. Let me see it. Let me see it in action if I truly believe in all this stuff. Because one day my opportunity will be cut short by death, by rapture, or by second coming. No more excuses at that point. So God has kind of shown us, here's this dead faith that we have. Let's hope it's not in him. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Then there's demonic faith right in the same breath almost in verse 18. Yea, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest, 19, that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. What? But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So we're talking about this faith that we so lightly throw out. And I feel God is now allowing us to just start to get into the little depths, get rid of the surface gems, and start to dig and find where the real gems are. How's my faith, I hope, is going through? What do I have? The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 11, I believe, examine, and Craig says it all the time at the table. The Word of God says, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. And that's why I wanted to present it this way today, because I need to, what's my faith? Am I just taking it for granted? Do I just say I have faith? But boy, my life is presenting just like some of these. But then there's saving faith, isn't there? That's the one that as we go into Hebrews chapter 11, that Paul is trying to explain to us, to make the promises of God to us, that we won't believe what is possible through saving faith, through real faith, what is possible. Who knows? And it's not God's problem, it's our problem. It's a love problem, I really feel, depending on where you feel you fit in those sections of faith. Do I love God enough that even if I can't see it, even if I can't touch it, even if I just feel like it's never attainable, will I still believe in him? That's faith. So saving faith. We all know John 3:16. I'll pull it to a wrap. For God so loved the world that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, die, have an existence apart from him. Whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe that? If you do, praise God. Now our faith can start increasing. That's the springboard, if you would, to salvation, to saving faith. That's where we start. If you don't believe that, hell, okay, is your eternal dwelling place. And you know, I know I'm speaking to believers, but this is what we have to go out these doors and try lovingly to explain to people. Amen. That faith that you have in the world, in the bank, and you know, your car and everything else. And anybody ever get let down by somebody you had faith in? Anybody get taken, I use that word, by somebody that we had faith in? We're not talking about that. Don't ever let that be what our faith descends into. The faith that we have is designed by God to keep on growing. Turn to Ephesians, if you would, chapter 2. Oh, we all know this one, right? Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you're saved. Not because we're so cool, not because God couldn't live without us and all these things that we do, but his grace. And when we read this, for by grace you're saved, Doug, that tells me that God loved me. God loved me in spite of who I am, in spite of where I've been, in spite of what I'm going to do this afternoon. God loved me enough to allow me belief in him, that belief, when I finally accepted, started to turn into faith. It didn't, the faith wasn't there. We had that worldly faith that we explained, natural faith. But my belief, the John 3:16 acceptance, all of a sudden now we're hearing, it turns into a faith that God gives to us. For by grace you're saved through faith. Faith in God, faith in his grace, faith in his word. And that is not of yourself. Some of us try to, you know, work up faith, and when I gotta do better. God has given, and he will continue to give when he knows what our hearts are crying. This gift of faith, and it is a gift, not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Do we have that kind of faith? It's gonna be a fight. I can say that. And I might even say it through God's word. 1 Timothy. If you would, 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's not easy. I'm not denying that at all. How many of you have had days where your faith is being attacked? See, that's the scheme of the devil. He doesn't want to just make your car get a flat tire so you're late to an appointment. He doesn't want you to live in a house that, you know, you're not happy with, there's mice in it and the wind blows through and blah. That's not his. Those are just natural happenstances that he can use against our faith. It's a fight, this faith. It just doesn't, oh, I accepted Christ, but everything went wrong. Good. Now God gets down to the essence of, where's your faith? Where's your faith? You know, here it comes again, I'll tell you. My faith was, and he's trying to rip yours out. He's trying to rip yours out. He's trying to rip yours out. I could point at everyone. That's the battle that this flesh and spirit are in right now. Not for I'm broke or I'm a drunk or, you know. He's going after faith. Satan doesn't want that faith that we're hearing about here, saving faith with eternity, with God coming back, because he loves us so much. He doesn't want that, because if he can hit our faith, it's all over. Then we're just natural man walking around, eat worms and die, you know, Eeyore. Oh, I guess that's all I'll ever have. That's not what God wants, but it's a fight. It's a fight. Yes, I prayed. Yes, I prayed again. And yes, I begged the gates of heaven, please don't take D. And she died. Just like some of your loved ones have gone. And I hope and pray you prayed that hard, believing like crazy, this isn't going to happen. She's going to get out of that bed. We're going home, and she's going to hug her babies. And she didn't. Why did that happen? I don't know. But what I do know is that the enemy of my soul was right there at that point in time trying to get me to curse God, walk away from God, just like you, just like you, Tommy, just like you, Teddy. That's what's up for grabs right now, in a simple belief of a rapture. It's a fight. Are we looking for it? We've all read Titus, looking for that blessed hope and great expectation that is coming. Are we looking for it? Do we see it? That's the question I hope to leave us all with as we walk out today. And the other one is to really question myself, what kind of faith do I have? Is it only faith when everything works the way I want it to work? Or is it faith in the midst of complete devastation that I still, like Job said when his wife said, curse God and die. Will I only take the good from God's hand? See, it's easy to be I spoke that Wednesday, I think. It's easy to be a holy man on top of the mountain. It is. Everything's going right. The checks are coming in. Oh, everything flows downhill and it's not hitting me. But how about down in the valley? How about when nothing is working? Satan wants us to curse God and die. That's his purpose. And the only way to prevent that is saving faith.
Amen.
The just, as Paul says, and we'll close out 10, will live by IRAs, nice big houses and cars, shiny baubles and trinkets, 7-course meals. I remember Ressa at Mark Smith's funeral said Mark, he really enjoyed 7-course meals, a 6-pack of Bud and a hot dog. You know what? It's all up in here. What do I have? Saving faith.
Amen.
And can I have it when the bottom of my life falls out? Amen. Father God, help us to help us in each one of us. It tells you to be so us to be so convinced in our own mind and heart how we believe. None of us can force a belief on anybody else, Father. So help us to just look into your word about faith. Help us to look, Father, into those promises that are yea and amen, even though our faith is small. Help us, Lord, to beg you each and every day, increase my faith. Increase my faith. Fan that little spark that I got left into a flame. And let's see what that might look like for each of us. In the meantime, help us to encourage, not to give up, not to give in. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are going to stand and worship God. Hey, you've all heard this with faith. Another one of those, there was an old story about this guy named Blondell who, Niagara Falls, Blondell stretched a tightrope across Niagara Falls, and I guess he really did do it. So anyhow, in this crowd while they were watching him getting ready for everything, he went out before he did it the night before when they were setting it up and walked around disguised and was talking to people and said, what's going on? Well, this guy Blondell, he's going to walk across Niagara Falls. And they, that's impossible. No, this guy can do it. Do you believe he can do it? Yes, I believe. And he's going to put a guy in a wheelbarrow and he's going to walk him across this tightrope. And Blondell in disguise says, and do you believe that? And the guy says, well, of course I do. And he goes, would you be the man? Will you get in a wheelbarrow? And it was like, whoa, see you around. That's what our faith is like every day. It's under assault. Keep that in mind.